We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The top two draws at the movie box office last week could not have been more different on the screen. The animated Peanuts 3D movie finished ahead of all the other films on the list, save for one. Of course, that was Spectre, the latest entry in a long line of James Bond movies.
Film contributor Dave Lurson and Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski got to talking about Bond films, both where the franchise has been, where it's going, and what makes this particular one noteworthy.
All the Bond elements are accounted for in Spectre. Exotic locale, sex, killing, pyrotechnics, humor, and yes, in many cases, a chase scene. Spectre, the 24th canonical Bond film, is off to the races quickly. The only thing missing from the opening scene of this movie is a gadget, but then the sequence of Bond films starring Daniel Craig have been deliberately light on gadgets. The focus is on 007 with no invisible cars to get in the way.
So we are talking about the latest Bond film, Spectre. And this one seems to kind of bring in some classic Bond elements, as you mentioned, while also still trying to hold on to the Daniel Craig Bond that he's grown and established as a more hard, and with Skyfall especially being more of an emotional journey.
Right.
It seems like a bit of a change from that. So what are your initial thoughts when you saw this?
Well, the Daniel Craig Bond seems to be evolving emotionally is maybe a good way of putting it. Hopefully, this is not a spoiler, but he falls in love in this movie. He breaks a sweat a couple of times, I noticed, in some of the really difficult scenes he was involved in. But at the same time, he retains this very kind of hard and serious 007, which I found when Casino Royale came out to be a great relief from where the Bond series had gotten to in the years preceding that, where it was just sort of light and fluffy and almost played more for laughs. This movie has some humor in it, but yeah, tying in with the Bond story. I mean, I don't think that in the many previous incarnations of Bond that there was much effort at a backstory or origin story for him. And this really began with the previous Skyfall Bond film. And now we've tied up a lot of details. I guess I feel I know a lot more about Bond now, the character, than ever before. I don't know if that's really valuable or not, but I mean, it's an interesting direction in which to take the film. So, yeah, and you know, the son of a prominent Bond villain from decades ago turns up here in this film. It definitely ties up loose ends. And if we thought that there was a plan to end the whole Bond series, kind of like concluding Harry Potter finally, this would be the movie to do it. But we know that Bond is an ongoing project. It's not going to end no matter what happened at the end of Spectre. And there's plenty of chatter out there about what is the next step. Is Daniel Craig, who is contractually obligated to do one movie, going to do another movie because he seems to want out of the series?
True.
So there's a great deal of speculation about who might fill the shoes of 007.
Yeah, and it's been going around maybe Idris Elba would be, at least he's a popular contender.
A fascinating choice, a black Bond. I think that would be really a marvelous way to go. I don't know, again, are there Bond purists who would worry then that this somehow is out of sequence and suddenly the ethnic background of the main character changes without any explanation? Or does it not matter because we've had so many different people playing Bond? Anyway, I guess I would lean toward that.
Yeah, it's spanned over, 50 years now.
Right. I mean, the Bond would be dead by now or maybe in a nursing home at very best if we were trying to be literal with this.
True.
Even McGregor is another, great candidate for it. He, has indie movie cred from Trainspotting from early in his career. He's done, bigger motion pictures. He would be probably a good choice. Somebody else that I've heard about, Rupert Friend. Rupert Friend is an actor who has a lot of this masterpiece theater kind of stuff going on in his background, like Pride and Prejudice. But he's also graduated into more Hollywood fare. So that also could be an intriguing play on the Bond character. So there are many ways this could go. And who knows, maybe Craig will do one more.
Well, and Craig's established his own persona of Bond, and with this movie, it kind of ties in everything from Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, you know, whether it's the villains that he took down in there or the characters before that, you know, it all kind of comes together in Spectre, which is kind of alluded in the opening sequence, which I have to say I thought was really stunning visually.
Mm-hmm.
But oddly enough, the song by Sam Smith, I believe it's called If I Risk It All, has no mention of the word Spectre in it. And that's almost as big as the movie itself, is who's going to do the song, especially with last year, Adele, you know, blew it out of the park
right.
with Skyfall. And what do you think of the opening song and sequence for this time
around? I really disliked it. The opening sequence of the song reminded me of a really bad music video that I wouldn't want to watch. did it say anything in particular about the movie? I mean, it's kind of set it maybe a morose, mostly reflective tone, perhaps. I didn't like it, and I would have been very happy to dispense with it and just, you know, mm-hmm. do some cool sounding instrumental electronica or something
sure.
instead of that. But that's just me, and I'm sure that whether, you know, millions of people like or dislike that song, it's not going to have any impact at all on the box office success of the movie.
Right, and it was only maybe some just brief imagery of the association of villains that is involved in the movie
right.
with the octopus tentacles and things like that. But one thing that this movie touched upon as the, I don't know, I suppose you could say cover-up or main threat was a new age of cybersecurity. And I don't think we're necessarily spoiling anything by saying, you know, the 007 program is in jeopardy and people are questioning.
It was last time, too, I think. I mean, what I find really interesting about Spectre and Skyfall is that it's taking a stand against a couple of things, taking a stand against the all-pervasive surveillance state, which is a danger in our world right now, given technology. And it's also a warning against techno-utopians who just assume that because, you know, this new technology exists, that everything is going to be great as a result of it. And 007, I mean, you know, it's a program of assassins and killers. And yet the movie makes the strange point that the human element will be lacking if you merely kill people with drones mm-hmm. or, you know, because, and actually, you know, the very fine character makes the point in the movie that, you know, there is human judgment involved when you're on the ground, face to face, confronted with the possibility of doing this, as opposed to somebody sitting in a room somewhere thousands of miles away, as if it's a video game directing a drone strike against a person that you've never met or seen. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's
intriguing.
Versus
pulling a trigger
yeah.
with the person in front of you.
Right.
Christoph Waltz's character, he plays the main villain, and I think he did a great job. And also kind of harkening back to the older Bond movies where the villain is, you know, it seemed more focused this time around, and it even had some of the old Bond scenes, like, you know, his lair is in the middle of nowhere in the desert of Tunisia.
Right.
And that kind of reminded me of some of the old Connery movies where they're just at these random, you know, places in the middle of nowhere, and they have to take down this whole facility in a way. But also just Christoph Waltz's character was just very smart visually and mentally. What did you think of his role as the villain?
Well, he is just one of the great recent actors to emerge. I think he has a wonderful future ahead of him. He can do a lot of things very well. He's an excellent villain, certainly. And this particular Bond villain, nicely attired. I mean, he had a kind of a look, sartorial look to him that was particular. He had this sort of, you know, sniggering intelligence, the sophistry of evil, where he can rationalize and justify, you know, just about anything. I think he's sort of a fascinating Bond villain, one of the better ones we've seen in a while. And I'm certainly glad that he's not going to take over the world. I think it's a dangerous place to live if he won.
It would be, and as you mentioned, it's not necessarily a spoiler that he could come back in some sort of role, because at the end, Bond makes a very un-Bond-like decision and doesn't carry out killing the person that the 00 program is after, and he falls in love, you know, versus these other Bond films where he's classic, misogynistic, advantage of women. Most of the women around him die in some way or form. And did
and
you
that
think
was always
was...
the disturbing thing about Bond movies to me. What was the connection between sex and violence, particularly as directed against women? And I think that there is a conscious effort now on the part of the screenwriters, the director, Sam Mendes, and people involved in this project to move it away from that. I mean, that should never have been an acceptable attitude, and somehow it seemed to be back in the go-go 60s, you know, for it was one of the downsides of that decade, I would say. But we're moving past that as a society. I think we're more conscious of some of these things now. I mean, you know, the Monica Bellucci, I mean, is being called a Bond girl, even though she was in only a few scenes. So there could be two Bond girls, women,
yes,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the oldest actress to play that part. She's 50 years old. That's not something that would have happened decades ago in Bond movies. And her character, I think, was very respectable and understandable and sympathetic. So... yeah, the gross objectification of women that Bond films have often been guilty of, it didn't happen here.
And do you think that kind of changes what we know as Bond as a character, or throws the movie off in a way? Or do you think that, you know, even if Daniel Craig doesn't continue in this manner, that the Bond character will change in his view towards women, or at least the movies centering around these Bond girls that are in the film?
Well, I think it's very likely that Bond, you know, would have to have evolved, you know, to some extent. I mean, 10 years ago, there was a lot of chit-chat about, you know, Bond is gone, Bond is dead. The new action killer is that bald-headed jerk, Vin Diesel. And basically, he's not going to, you know, dress up in a suit. He's just an ugly jerk who's going to, like, you know, kill everybody and blah, blah, blah. Well, fortunately, the James Bond franchise was reinvented very intelligently with the great assistance of Daniel Craig, the lead actor. Now, who's going to take over from this? I don't think you can go backward into, you know, the 1970s and 80s era Bond anymore, nor can you even go back to Sean Connery, who I think was really a great player at the time. But the world has changed in some significant ways since those days, and the new Bond has to reflect that, while at the same time, you know, he cannot become suddenly perceived as a weak character. I think that the future Bond has to be strong and implacable and willing to do what needs to be done, but yet there has to be more of a human element to him, more of a, you know, lack of a better term right now, as a sense of conscience about his actions in the world.
While still wearing a suit under a suit, as we saw in the beginning.
Yes, well,
that was
very, very...
still keeping it very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated, because I don't think that James Bond as a slob is something that anybody wants to see. James Bond in jeans that are falling down and a sweaty T-shirt. No, I think that there are elements of the Bond character that have to be in place. He is somebody who... you know, lives well, and I guess how much is he paid per year? I mean, I'd like to know that. I mean, maybe some future movie we'll get into that end of it, but
he still lives pretty sparsely, as we saw in this film. His
it's
apartment
a beautiful
isn't,
building,
it's a
though.
Great building,
yeah.
But it's very simple and looks.
He's
as
not
if
there
he's
very
just
often.
Moved in.
It looks like the apartment of a business executive that travels a great deal and isn't there more than a few days at a time before hitting, you know, the runway again for the next job. So and I think that's very accurate. I suppose if there would be a 007, that's probably the way he would live.
So overall, this movie captures all the classic Bond elements while pushing it into the future.
Yes, and the future is going to be interesting. Usually at the end of an ongoing series of movies, I wince at the possibility of there being another one out there. There are so many bad sequels, of course. But here, you know, I'm very, very interested to know where it's going to go next.
True, because as you mentioned, it could stay as is, but I guess we'll talk about it again, whether it's Daniel Craig or maybe someone else.
Well, meet you again in 2 years. We'll talk about the next Bond film.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is arts and entertainment editor at the Shepherd Express weekly newspaper and author of its I Hate Hollywood blog. He is also our regular film contributor, and he spoke with Audrey Nowakowski about all things James Bond. Incidentally, this is the theme from the new James Bond movie. The movie's called Spectre, but the song is called Writing on the Wall by Sam Smith. If I risk it all, could you break my fall? How do I live? How do I breathe? When you're not here, I'm suffocating. I want to feel through my blood. Tell me, is this where I give it all up? For you, I have to risk it all. 'Cause the writing's on the wall. A million shards of glass haunt me from my past. As the stars begin to gather and the light begins to fade, when all hope begins to shatter, know that I won't be love.